Well, it's Christmas time, almost. Holiday, end of year. You think of the celebration, the family. You think about the birth of Christ. And, of course, the focus is celebrating that. But one of the things that gets us into trouble is money, how we handle money. Not only at Christmas time, but around the year. But we've got some real help for you today. I've invited Parky Thompson, who is a part of our team, our intentional finance coach here at Intentional Living. He contributes to our daily Intentional Living Minute feature. To come and join us, he's a financial expert. We're going to dig into finances during the holiday and help you get set up for a great 2017. How's that sound? All right, this is Intentional Living. Let's go.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a counselor and coach, the founder of the Intentional Living Center, and your advocate for the family. Today, joining Randy is our Intentional Living financial expert, Parky Thompson. So call now, 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in beautiful Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional with your finances, here's Randy.
All right, thank you much. Kurt, appreciate it. If you had one question you'd like to ask someone who really understands about finance, about money, what would it be? One question. And as you think about the end of this year and starting this next year, give me a call. As Kurt mentioned, 888-888-1717, live in the studio. Parky Thompson joining me on the phone in just a moment as we think about the Christmas season in particular, because that's right in front of us. I can remember when I was a kid, holiday spending, you know, you'd go to the bank and you could set up an account early in the year and save, and then have that pot to use for Christmas time. I fear today, unfortunately, so much of what we see with so easy to order online, where I saw the online ordering of gifts was going to be up like 9 or 10% compared to last year. That's a pretty easy thing to do. Get online, looks, there it is. They're going to ship it right to you, hit the order button, and there you go. So impulse buying can be a problem, lack of planning. Of course, obligation, feeling like you have to, and having the wrong expectations and just not planning ahead for it, I think a big part of it. So Parky Thompson joins me, but first I want to share one of those Intentional Living Minutes. You know, Parky shares this with us, and it goes on stations all around the country. And you're thinking, Parky Thompson, I think I recognize that voice. Take a listen. Here's one of his spots, and then we'll get him here live on the air.
Staying on plan through the holidays is tough. It's even tougher when you don't have a plan.
This is the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Parky Thompson, our intentional financial coach.
Ben Franklin once said, if you do not have a target to aim at, you will hit it every time. The same can be said of your holiday plan. Festivities, gift buying, family functions, there is only so much you can do and only so much that you can afford. Building an intentional plan helps you get there with less stress. Specifically with gifts, determine how much money you have to spend, and hopefully that equals the amount of money that you've saved throughout this year. Build a list of every person you must buy a gift for and intentionally, on paper, spend that money on each person before you go shopping. Intentionally avoid going into debt. For Intentional Living, I'm Parky Thompson.
For more insight and encouragement, go to theintentionallife.com.
Well, there you go. That's recorded, but now here live is Parky on the line with us. Parky, welcome to our studio here today.
Thank you, Dr. Carlson. Good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. You know, as I was listening to that spot, you kind of laid out the whole formula, I think, for how to handle not only Christmas spending, but year-round. Do you have any idea of the percentage of people who actually approach Christmas with an intentional financial plan and stay within the bounds and end the season saying, hey, I did exactly what I set out to do?
Well, I think it's a very small number. I can only go by the people that I work with, people that I run into, and it's a very small fraction. I would guess somewhere between 5 and 10% of all people. And then you threw in that piece there that actually stick with it. There are some people who are well-intentioned, but at the same time, they vary from that. Christmas is a very emotional time for people. Even with the best of plans, people still get excited. They want to make sure that their loved ones are, know their love and appreciation. They think they can do that through gifts. And so a lot of people get off track. But when those people have a plan, typically they're not as far off track as those people who don't have any plan.
If you have a question, by the way, for Parky or myself, or you have a tip that works for you in managing money, here and setting up for this new year, give us a call, 888-888-1717. It's a number. What I've been reading, Parkey, is that the consumer, the feelings that they have, their confidence level is up. We see the stock market, has taken a big jump. Do you think we're setting ourselves up maybe for people who've been on the edge thinking, oh, it's great, things are great, I'm just going to go out and spend, maybe unconsciously not aware that their confidence might not be what they should be basing their spending on?
I do, and I see that in even more areas than Christmas shopping. I see a lot of that just since the election. Whether you were for one side or the other, there's some certainty now. We have a president-elect, and so we know who that's going to be at this particular point. And so people are feeling a little more certain, but also they feel a little more confident. And as a result, unless they are intentionally planning and executing to their plan, a lot of times they'll veer off from that. And there's a lot of things. When you mentioned the Internet, you mentioned Internet shopping and so forth, a lot of money, huge percentages increases this year in spending on the Internet. That's a very dangerous thing to do when you're not living by a plan as well. Yeah. Because when you're not spending by cash, you're spending with that debit card and a credit card, you will likely overspend time after time after time. You have to be intentional with that money to be successful.
Do you work with your clients? Do you ever talk about with their budget what percentage might be set aside for gift giving during the year and vacations and so on? Is there some rule of thumb that tends to work or be helpful?
Well, if you really look at some of those rules of thumb that have been established for us before, those are typically between 5% and 7% of what your monthly take home should be, and you set that aside and intentionally use that as you go through the month. What I see in dealing with people is it varies from family to family. That one family may be doing less in giving, other family doing more. What you've got to do is you've got to build a plan that's going to work for you and your particular family. Husbands and wives need to come together with doing that as well. Bringing the children involved. I mean, you're not necessarily going to tell the children how much you're going to spend and so forth, but set the expectations so that there's not, even through the year, whether it's Christmas giving, birthday giving, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. So there's not this expectation, hey, we're going to be getting a boatload of stuff. We're being intentional with our money and really looking at that, working together to stay with it's going to help you.
Now, beyond the scope of just Christmas gift giving, as people are thinking about 2017, if you were sitting down with one of our Intentional Living listeners today, and I know everybody's situation is a little different, but how would you help them begin to lay out a plan? What's a sort of a formula, a plan that you would help them have a healthier next year than maybe this year financially?
Well, I would help them to understand what they really can and want to give and look at a whole dollar amount for the next year. And that may be $1,000, just using that general number there. How do you break that down on a monthly basis? How much of that are you going to save for some long-term things such as Christmas and so forth? And then on a monthly basis, what are those things that you think you need to have? And then from that, begin to plan. Lay out a plan for every month. Lay out a plan for every name of how much you're going to spend on that individual, on that person, and making sure that you stick to that. And the key component to all of that is using cash. When you use cash, there's no way that you can go over what you've planned. Break that down. Maybe you need some paper clips for Susie. Maybe you need something else for Bobby. Those things, set that money aside in specific envelopes. Here's what we're going to spend on birthdays. Here's what we're going to spend on Christmas. And when you've got that cash and built toward your plan, you will in turn see that you can be successful in the plan that you've laid out and live within your income.
You can join the discussion. I have Parkey Thompson here on the line with me live today. We're talking about money. Spending during the holidays, also looking at 2017. 888-888-1717 is the number. Parkey, I want you to come on back here in just a moment, and let's talk, maybe take the discussion up another level. Look not only at Christmas, but again, in 2017, if you were helping someone lay out a plan for all of their finances, what are some things that you would encourage them to think about so they could move toward getting out of debt? I mean, that seemed like a reasonable thing to do, something my wife and I really made as a priority in our lives because we know the bondage that you can be in if you allow that debt to consume you, especially the consumer's kind of debt. All right, you can join us, 888-888-1717. More with Parkey in just a minute.
Hey, this is Bobby, and I am living intentionally by mastering my money. I am in the process of going to Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey. Your program has checked me about being intentional with my money. I have begun to pay off debts, received 2 tax checks and have begun using that to pay off medical bills and other things to get a hold of the things that are managing me instead of me managing them. Also putting into place a budget and living by it, and living by a cash budget instead of just by the seat of my pants. I thank you for the challenge that I hear from you daily, and I challenge others to do the same.
All right. Well, you're welcome. We're glad to be here and join in with a host of growing number of people from around the country who are taking this journey with us to live intentionally in our faith and our walk with Christ in a world that's very unintentional. Those of us who are followers of Christ were marginalized, criticized, and as believers, we need to live our faith. We need to live out what we say we believe. And of course, this is one of the five essential areas, our finance. And we welcome you to come and join us on this journey like so many people are doing, demonstrating their ongoing interest by the support they give to what we do here at Intentional Living. And I thank those who are doing that. Parkey Thompson's here today. We're talking about one of the five essential areas. We're talking about money and how we honor Christ and be good stewards, which raises a question for me, Parkey, as we look at 2017. We may have some listeners who just going paycheck to paycheck, struggling, have never really sat down, done any sort of an assessment of where they are and where they need to go. Can you kind of lay out a 1-2-3 step? What are some things that people could do to start preparing beyond Christmas, looking into 2017 with their whole financial picture?
Well, Dr. Carson, all the things that we talked about in that last segment and even rolling into this question here, they're all pretty much common sense. Here's what we should be doing. The problem is we have a hard time managing ourselves. And so what we really need to do, and again, yeah, as an individual, as a single person with an accountability partner, husbands and wives, we need to get together. And the number one thing that I would tell people about next year is establish goals. Make sure you've got some goals so you can narrow that down to the one specific goal that you're looking for. You mentioned getting out of debt. Maybe it's saving for an emergency fund. Maybe it's saving for another vehicle purchase because we're going to need that and we don't want to go into debt for the next vehicle purchase. How do we attack that first goal that we've got and then break that down into milestones? When do we need that money? How much do we need to have by this particular point? How do we go about saving with that? Then you've got to get on a monthly budget. You really have to tell your money where to go. Everybody that's listening today is working hard for the money. There's no question about it. But some people maybe aren't managing as hard as they're working hard for that money. Building a budget, having those milestones, having those goals that we're trying to achieve, they take some work. They mm-hmm. take some effort. And when we put that effort into this and we begin to live by those plans, we're going to see the payoff in being able to achieve those milestones. And as we bunch those milestones up as we go through 2017, we're going to see that we hit those goals on time and often even early because we're being intentional with our focus, what we're trying to achieve.
I think so often people don't even know what they're spending now. It's at the end of the month, they look back and they say, well, where'd all that money go? You know, I had so much cash I was carrying in my wallet or in the purse, or we had so much in the checkbook or what have you, and credit card bills come in. We don't even know where it went. So the plan is important, but how important is it to actually kind of get a baseline of knowing what you're doing now?
Well, going forward, you have to know what you're doing now because you've got to set some realistic expectations. You can say that you're going to spend $300 in groceries, but if you're spending $800 now, you know that's a huge gap. How do we really identify what that is? And to your point, and in today's world, we really have no excuse. We've got the old pencil and pen and paper where we can write down and track where we're spending
right.
money. But today, there's a lot of tools for our smartphone to be able to track those expenses that we've got. There's a lot of free apps out there that will allow us to put things in and really track, and over a period of a week, 2 weeks, even a month, get a good picture of where we're spending. And when we've got that picture, it's like stepping on the scales in the morning. All right, now we know what we weigh. Where do we want to get to? We've got to see where we're at to be able to see where we want to be. And with that picture, we can go back to that goals, the milestones, the monthly budgeting to really help us achieve that.
Very good. I agree totally. Christy has a question for us from Arizona. Christy, welcome. How are you today?
I am very well. Thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
It was absolutely amazing.
That's great. Well, what's your question for Parkey today, Christy?
Well, hi. Thank you so much, first of all, for taking my call. It's very kind. What I was kind of wondering about, and I love what you're saying about realistic expectations and kind of being aware of what you spend. This is about our third Christmas spending everything in cash. So we've been very intentional about that. And we actually have just gotten back on a cash spending. So anything outside of our bills, we are doing in cash. Yeah. And the only problem is that this is about the like sixth time that we've done this. So,
I mean, you start and then you fail and then you start over again.
Yeah. So we struggle with consistency and we're really putting our minds to it this time. We are definitely being intentional and making that commitment. What I was kind of wondering about is going into 2017, we are wanting to pay off as much as of our debt as possible. And we've kind of been following a certain, I don't know if I'm allowed to say names, but a certain program that really suggests that you attack all your debt before you save.
Is that Dave Ramsey?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Everybody, you could say the name.
Okay, cool. Yes, so we've been, you know, trying to kind of follow that. And as we get a little older, we're in our early 40s, we're becoming a little more concerned about retirement. Uh-huh. And we have just, in the past year, gotten back into a position where we could contribute to a retirement account. But my question is saving something you should do before blowing out your debt, or do you indeed blow your debt out first before you save?
Well, let me ask Christy, just generally, what kind of debt do you have? Is it your home? Do you have consumer debt, cars? What kind of debt are you hanging on to?
We have our mortgage. Uh-huh. We have about, between my husband and I at this point, about $36,000 in student loans.
Okay.
Then we have his car. We only have a little bit left on my car. We have my son's braces. And then we do have about $4,000 on a credit card.
Okay. So your question is, should we be working at getting this debt taken care of before you save, or should it be balanced between the two? Parky, how do you weigh in on that? I'm sure that's a question that comes up a lot. And when you look at a system that says go from step A to B to C to D, where some people may want to balance it. How do you kind of approach that?
Well, Christy, if I could step back just a minute and talk about your consistency there, or the way you put it, maybe a lack of consistency. When you look at that, where does plastic play a role in that? Have you been using the credit cards and using the debit card when you've been trying to stick with cash?
We try really hard to not use the credit card. That's kind of been like emergencies, like car repairs, or a lot of it is my husband traveling and then we have to kind of wait on the expense checks. I think where we get lost is with the debit card, because we're like, oh, we have so much in our checking account that we can spend. We'll do okay with that. And then in 2 weeks, we pull it up. We're like, holy cannoli, how much have we spent? So it's hard to track it.
Sure. And so you've touched on that. What
really well.
So. you've touched on what helps you be inconsistent, and that is that use of or plastic. Get rid of the plastic and stick to the cash. It's a tough one. It is tough. You'll think you're dying. You're losing oxygen. You can't get oxygen. But you will be successful and you'll stay consistent instead of going back and say, well, this is the seventh time or eighth time we've done that. If you get rid of that plastic, you will find that you can stick to cash. Now back to your other question of whether you should save or whether you should pay off debt. If I could ask in generic terms, I know you're talking to the country here, roughly what kind of family income do you have, household income?
We were very blessed. My husband just received a raise for about $95,000.
Okay. So when you look at that, and I'm not going to address the cost of living where you live and all that stuff, but $95,000 a year, you've got about $36,000 in student loans. You didn't get into some of the other things there. I think what you really need to understand is when you are trying to invest in the stock market and putting that money in there and hoping that it will grow, at the same time while you're trying to pay down debt, if you really look at that, quite often we're spinning our wheels. We're trying to get a gain here, the money that we're putting in. We're trying to pay off debt. We're paying interest on these credit cards, maybe even student loans, cars, all that good stuff. But if you will be intentional with your debt pay down, and then specifically looking at that smallest one and attacking that one with a vengeance while you make minimum payments on everything else, and let's exclude the mortgage in this whole scenario. Work with that smallest one. Maybe it's a credit card. Maybe it's the braces. Pay that thing off and take that amount that you were paying as the minimum and the extra. Now add that to the minimum of the next one on the list. You will see that you start to take that debt away. When you look at the student loans, $36,000 is a lot of money in student loans, but it's not a whole lot of money in comparison to what your income is. And so really staying on that debt snowball plan to being able to attack that is something that's important to you. We didn't get into your real age, all the good stuff of you and your husband, but one of those times when you get up into the 40s and the 50s and retirement gets closer, you start looking at that student loan and saying, hey, I've got this thing. It's going to be here forever if I don't get it taken care of. And it may be something that you need to dabble with or start putting some money into one of those retirement accounts on a percentage basis. Maybe it's a smaller percent of what you're paying extra opposed to what you're paying towards that student loan, but getting something going for you so it shows you that you are able to do something. But with the numbers that you share with me based upon your family income and the numbers that you've got with debt, especially in the student loans, I would really attack that debt snowball as strong as you can, hard as you can. Knock those things out to keep moving forward.
I would agree. That's very good. Thank you, Christy, for your call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. And I think adding to that, Parky, I want to come back in a moment and address the issue. She said that they've been through this about seven times, you know, up and then down and then up and down, that whatever plan you have, I think if Dave Ramsey were on the line here, he'd probably agree, you got to work it. That it's, really, this is a math issue. I mean, when you think about money, it's a math issue. So much coming in, so much going out over an extended period of time. You run the math, and there it is. I think like anything in life, living intentionally is coming down to being intentional, making the decision, then doing it, and doing it over an extended period of time. All right, I want to ask you about that. How does intentional living fit into executing this financial plan for Christmas and into 2017? More with Parky Thompson in just a moment.
You know, with a name like Intentional Living, you got to believe that Dr. Randy wants you to be intentional. And you'd be right. This month, he's helping you to be intentional for your life. And when you become a monthly member, you'll not only get Dr. Randy's monthly coaching CDs, but you'll also receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit, which includes two of Dr. Randy's books, Starved for Affection and The Power of One Thing, as well as the IL wristband. Join today. Go to theintentionallife.com or call anytime 1-888-888-1717 and press option number 4.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Randy.
All right. Thank you much. We're live here today. We're talking about Christmas spending, but it, of course, flows over into 2017, your general financial plan. And to be intentional as followers of Christ, hey, listen, we're going to be intentional in this area is important in terms of money. I start a series tomorrow on the program where I'm going to take the next several days and talk about 10-10-80, which is sort of an outline that we have followed here at Intentional Living, tithing, and then saving at least 10%. And depending on when you start in the process, if it's later on, it might be 15% or more. But in other words, learning to live on the remainder. And what so often we do is we reverse it. Whatever's left over, we give to God. Whatever's left over, we might save instead of saying, hey, we're going to pay ourselves. We're going to make sure that we're tithing, we're being obedient, and then learning to live on that remainder. And that's a very intentional decision. And, you know, Parky, we only have a minute here before we're out of time, but talk about that. Being intentional with whatever plan you put together, that you have to stick with it. Are there any techniques or strategies you have learned that help people be more intentional?
Well, again, you have to change your behavior. The only thing that worked in the lives of myself and my wife was that I lost my job. I didn't have any choice but to manage myself at that point. With no income coming in, you can do some crazy things that you never thought you could do before. And so people need to do those things now. And as Christy mentioned there, they tried really sticking to their plan and gaining some momentum with this 6-7 times. And one of the key things is if something's not working for you, throw it out.
Yeah.
And do something else. And I think that's my most successful clients, some of the most successful people that I run into who really begin to live on a plan are successful that are those who get rid of the credit cards and the debit cards. She said it, the money's there, we'll spend it on something. Black Friday shopping, we've been saving up all this money for our taxes, and all of a sudden there's a TV on sale. It's in the checking account, and now we can't pay the tax bill. Be disciplined. Get rid of that stuff, really live by cash, and you will be able to achieve some things that you never thought you could.
Absolutely. This program, this is worthy of a whole week. But I think we got people thinking, and that's our goal. This is one of the five essential areas that we focus on. And Parky, again, I appreciate your help today and your ongoing contribution with our Intentional Living Minute broadcast heard around the country. And we hope you have a great Christmas, and thanks for being a part of the team here.
Thanks, and Merry Christmas to you and all the listeners.
Thank you. Parky Thompson, who, by the way, if you'd like to know more about Parky, what he does, come to our website, come to theintentionallife.com, click on our broadcast highlights, and all the vital statistics are there for you on Parky, who brings such good wisdom. You know, when we think about this topic of living intentionally with your finances, when we get in our heads the fact that God owns everything and we are truly stewards, that's a word that we use, right? A steward, meaning we are to care for it. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we take better care of things for other people when they ask us to care for them than we do our own stuff? And I think if we see the fact that this is God's and we're here to care for it, that might change your mind and might help you be more intentional and help me be more intentional in how we approach money. Again, join us 10-10-80. We start a whole series on money tomorrow right here at Intentional Living. I think it's important for us to come back and say, you know, if we're to be followers of Jesus Christ, and it's true that I'm going to get 80% of the joy in my life from 20% of the investment, it brings me back to thinking, you know, God's intention is that we give 10%. Does he need 10% from us? No. I mean, is he sitting in heaven wringing his hands because the economy is down and somewhere or other, you know, he's going to have a bailout program? This isn't the way God operates. He does this because he knows it's an act of worship for us. It's a realization that everything belongs to him in the first place. That's an excerpt from the series we began 3 days, starts tomorrow here at Intentional Living Center on what we call 10-10-80, which is the basis, sort of the outline formula that we use to teach the intentional living principles to people all around the country. So I hope you'll join us for that. And I want to say thanks to those of you who have joined in support of the ministry. You've come alongside and you said, we're on this journey with you, Randy. We want to be a part of it. So many of you have been every week coming in monthly support, and I want to thank you. Lynn and Kevin and Teresa and John and Lucy and many others, thank you for joining in monthly support. And with just a month now to go in this year, we got a ways to go to close out the ministry in 2016. And your support today, if you were able to share a gift of $100 or more, would be so appreciated. Thank you for standing with us. Go to theintentionallife.com, click on donate, theintentionallife.com, or call West Coast Business Hours, 888-888-1717, and press number 4. Okay? And you know what? We're going to be back again tomorrow, as I mentioned, as I begin a series of teaching on 10-10-80, God's intention for your money. And members, thank you for standing with us. Thanks for being a part of the team. See you all tomorrow.